think of myself as someone who holds grudges. What we think of ourselves doesn't always matter. But I don't. I think I've gotten better at being able to let bad things go in general. I can experience the usual hurts and disappointments of life without the bitter attachment to my own story that I used to have about said hurts and disappointments. It is true that people can let us down, can pierce us deeply without it being personal. In fact, we can expect that we will let others down and they will do the same to us because we'll learn new things about situations and the stories we love. And if we learn those new things, they might shake us, make us sad or angry, and we have the choice to cling to the old belief or let go and move into the new. The best version of ourselves, I think, can ride the waves of those experiences lightly and adjust without too much trouble. But when the feeling of betrayal gets activated, for me at least, that's a whole other world. The hurt, that unique kind of hurt that is betrayal, the anger, the resentment of betrayal, has a little bit more of an intense flavor to it. For me, it's sharper and also slimier at the same time. More than any other feeling, it makes me want to stop, retreat, give up on the world. So I've been wondering, what is it about betrayal that is so different? In my 20s, a boyfriend that I adored read my journal without me knowing it. He knew things he shouldn't have known, and when I questioned him about it, he began making up elaborate lies about how he'd found out. My gut told me something wasn't quite right, but I just trusted him. Until finally, I don't even remember the circumstances now, the truth came out months and months later. That was different than just a disappointment or a broken trust. That felt like a betrayal. When the Sandy Hook shooting happened in Connecticut in 2012, and our elected officials did nothing to ensure that it wouldn't happen again, I was devastated in a way I had not ever been devastated before. And more than that, I realized I felt betrayed by my country for the first time ever. It was the first time I could clearly identify that feeling being applied to a system or a group of people that were mostly unconnected to me, really. It broke something I believed about our world. When I was very young, I realized at some point along the line, I felt betrayed by God. When I learned as a young child that so many people I loved would spend eternity in hell for small sins or for simply not believing or knowing or having the opportunity to have heard about Jesus, for not following the same religion, swaths of humanity would be sent into the fiery depths. I was personally offended that God, this God that I had come to love and rely on, could be so selfish and so unreasonable, so cruel. That felt like a betrayal to me. What do those things have in common? That feeling that created that moment of something beyond hurt or disappointment. What is the flavor of betrayal that makes it different? And then how do we use it to meet this moment? One thing that's true, at least for me, is that betrayal can only be felt if there was first a true and deeply abiding faith in whatever or whoever it was that hurt you. That's a beautiful thing. There has to be something real and loving there in the first place. It only happens if some part of you believes in a personal relationship or a connection with whatever it is, you identify with it, and then for some reason it or they just didn't come through for you. Betrayal is born of deep trust. And when it's broken, at least for me, some part of you may think, how stupid I was. What an idiot I am. It must be my fault. feels personal, maybe even embarrassing, like there's something wrong with you, with me. And again, the anger, the almost rage I feel when I am betrayed is sharp and it's pointed in both directions. It's like saying, if I were a good enough girlfriend, wife, boyfriend, husband, partner, friend, they wouldn't have lied, cheated, stolen. If I hadn't been so naive about the nature of humanity, this vote wouldn't have surprised me. The slimier part of betrayal always whispers in our ear, you should have known better. You were weak. You were stupid to believe in whatever so deeply. Inherent in betrayal is the negative belief that it only happens to defective people, or people that aren't lovable, or at least not lovable enough. And even if your mind knows that's not true, your heart goes on the defensive and may still nurture a pocket of quiet self-loathing. And it stops us from engaging and re-engaging. It stops us from recognizing the beauty and the strength and of the love and the trust from which it came. These days, I feel betrayed with all the rage and embarrassment that entails all the time. And I know that feeling is born from a pure and profound love of my country, love of our people, a deep and profound belief in the goodness of humanity. I get so angry that these things are happening, and I feel dumb sometimes for believing they never could. Meeting this moment while feeling betrayed has been so hard for so many. But then there are these little glimmers of beauty and truth and comfort. The most important for me lately was written by the Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Kotz. Rabbi Menachem was born in the 18th century. He was a legendary reclusive and acerbic leader of the Polish Hasidic Jewry. I love him because by all accounts, he never wanted to become a leader of the masses. Yet the more he shied away from fame, the more people found him. A brilliant and insightful scholar, he valued truth. And he talked a lot about scripture writings and sages and had many witty sayings, some of which are these. A horse walks down the middle of the road. A human being, on the other hand, sticks to one extreme or the other. I never wanted to serve a God whose ways would be understandable to mere mortals. When a person has a reason to cry and he wants to cry but is not able to cry, that is the greatest cry of all. I want people to refrain from wrongdoing, not because they fear sin, but because they don't have the time. And this one. He who doesn't see a God everywhere isn't capable of seeing a God anywhere. I first learned of Rabbi Menachem when I read a Braver Wiser article by the Reverend Abby Tennis back in 2022, and I kept that article for whatever reason, and it returned to my mind again this week. She begins her reflection with this quote from the famous rabbi. There is nothing more whole than a broken heart. There is nothing more whole than a broken heart. In her essay, Abby says, my friend Reverend Deborah Hafner shares with people that when she read fairy tales to her children as they grew up, she would skip the happily ever after parts. When the epic love at first sight between the princess and prince finally overcame whatever witches and thorny forests got in their way, Deborah would say, and it was hard work, the end. That strikes me as funny and a little sad. Part of me wants to believe that a connection's powerful beginning will be enough to sustain happiness forever and win out over the, and it was a lot of work apart. But it's not. Sooner or later, every powerful new commitment hits a roadblock, A fight with a lover, or limit with our body or skill, simple exhaustion, casual boredom, complicated betrayal. Sooner or later, we wonder whether it's worth remaining devoted to that which used to light us on fire and now leaves us tepid. For some reason, this whole idea gives me comfort. Sooner or later, no matter what we love or believe in, our commitment will be tested. Our faith will be shaken. Our very self will be doubted. It is a lot of work. The Episcopal priest, Gwen Behrens, asks of each seminarian she teaches, "What are you going to do when the church breaks your heart?" It's a question that she returns to regularly, because if you spend enough time in any community, a faith tradition, it will break your heart. Religious community has broken your heart and it has broken mine, she says. Now, no one ever asked me growing up or in my formation, what are you going to do when your beloved breaks your heart? What will you say when your God, however you define it, disappoints you? Who will you be when your country, the country you depend on and were so proud of, suddenly betrays you to your core? How will you meet that moment? Nobody ever asked me that question. We are taught love is perfect and easy. We're taught God is infallible. We're taught our country can do no wrong. We are left completely unprepared for the inevitable fall. And that creates rage and betrayal and shame and hopelessness. But the truth is, if we know it's going to happen, if we accept that it happens no matter what, eventually we can rise to this moment and meet it from a place of groundedness and confidence. Reverend Tennis went on to say in her essay that the richness, I might say the healing, comes from a commitment through choice. And it isn't just one choice. We have to keep choosing again and again to do that hard work, the work that Eileen lifted up in Joys and Sorrows. We have to choose each other. We have to choose to remain present. We have to choose to keep loving, keep trying, even when our hearts are the most broken, because that's when they're the most whole. And that doesn't mean that we should never end relationships or never walk away from commitments in times of abuse or when our deepest truth calls us in a new direction. But we don't give up on love because someone broke our hearts in love. We don't give up on community. We don't give up on the earth. We don't give up on humanity. It's only when we choose to believe again that there's something worth believing in, and that our vulnerability, even our naivete and our gullibility, can be a strength. It's only through choosing one another again and again that we can cut through the shallowness, our culture that starves our souls. So I leave you today with the words of Nikita Gill. I shared this reading with our connections group on Thursday. It feels especially true in this moment. "The rage you are feeling comes from the same place in your side, your heart, as the love. The rage you are feeling comes from the same place inside your heart as the love. This is why you refuse to accept a world where cruelty reigns and the fire consumes all, because you have known hope and joy and kindness like you have known water. And justice is a river that demands you do not give up on it." May it be so. Blessed be.